Hello, and welcome back into the Schlafly-verse, a podcast exploring the bizarre political and cultural legacy of Phyllis Schlafly. I'm Will, and I'm as ever joined by my mate Torrin.
Hi, nice to be here, as always.
So, you might remember on our last episode, I might have said, if Michael Flynn appeared on the Pro-America Report, we'd cover it. So he's been on the show, but as I've already told you, it's a bit of a letdown. There's not too much I felt worth covering. A lot of it is him saying about the support he's had while under investigation for collusion and dodgy stuff. Although there is a bit about the fact Ed went to the Flynn household once, or quite recently, I think, and Flynn's wife made him a tuna sandwich, and Michael Flynn got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I was like, don't laugh at a guy for liking PB&J. Everyone loves PB&J.
Not me, because I can't have peanut butter.
Well, except if you're allergic to nuts, then.
But there is a clip, though, which I want to talk about, where Flynn says that their people, which is like Trump supporters, yeah, more sort of extreme lot, are being unfairly branded racists and conspiracy theorists.
With a president in office who's already, I believe, signed 63 executive orders, and this drive towards transgenderism and racism and all this noise and nonsense, that's how they go after us, Ed. They go after us using phrases like conspiracy theorists, or they use words like racist or racism, and that's how they try to defeat us. We cannot allow ourselves to be put into these boxes, nor allow ourselves to be called these names when people know that it's false. They know that it's not true.
It's false, is it? So Michael Flynn has got in trouble recently. Well, been banned off Twitter, I think I mentioned the last episode, because he's been promoting QAnon, which is obviously a major conspiracy theory.
It is, yeah. I feel like I use these kind of stock phrases every week, but it's just ironic, isn't it? You know, like, we're being labelled conspiracy theorists, you know, trying to box us. And, yeah, you know, you're promoting QAnon. Like, what do you expect people to label you as?
As I've been listening to the Pro-America Report, if there's any little juicy comments, I will make a note of them. And I've always been wondering, like, how do I bring these into the show if I want to bring them into the show? And this has been a perfect time to bring in some of my, not my favourite clips, because it's the wrong word, but more interesting things which Ed and his guests have said while on the Pro-America Report, which might challenge this argument that these people aren't racist and aren't conspiracy theorists. So the first clip I have is Ed's old friend, David Horowitz, unsurprisingly,
shock,
from his other comments, talking about the left and how they're the true racists.
These are rank racists. They hate white people and they hate America. And we're not talking about fringe characters here. We're talking about, you know, the New York Times and the leadership of the Democrat Party. And, the news yesterday was of this 15-year-old girl whose life they're trying to destroy because she quite innocently used the N-word. It's funny how it's the one word that's banished in the American, you know, in the English language for Americans. She used it quite innocently, thinking she was cool because that generation has grown up on rap music, where if you're black, of course, you're allowed to use the word all the time. It's only when you're white that they crucify you. These are just public lynchings, and they're like a daily occurrence. We call it the cancel culture, but that's way too.
So I don't think we need to talk about that too much, but obviously the fact he's complaining about white people not being allowed to use the N-word, basically, is how I describe that.
Yeah, it's fairly self-explanatory, that one.
David Horowitz has not been on the show for a while. I don't know whether these sort of comments are perhaps part of the reason he's not been on for a while. And then, so I think that covers racism quite well, I think. So should we move on to conspiracy theories?
Yeah, I mean, equally though, I will say, to have a bit of discussion about it, you know, I guess you were kind of saying about Flynn and his people. Is David Horowitz an accurate representation of his people?
Well, not his, our people.
Our people.
And he was referring to Ed as well, like, these are the people who we hang around with and who share our views. And I think it's fair to say in that case that David Horowitz is part of their people.
he's definitely part of their people. And I'm not trying to say Michael Flynn, Ed Martin, the more, I guess, the less extreme part.
Less openness, less vocally.
But I think David Horowitz is definitely, from what I've listened to, the more
extreme.
extreme end of that. I'm not saying they don't have the same view as him necessarily on this, because they probably do.
I think Ed has said in the past that Horowitz is a bit extreme and apocalyptic in his comments. So he obviously doesn't fully agree with the sort of language and the weird talking points he comes up with in his rambles. So I completely appreciate that. But as we're about to say, there's also other stuff which Ed himself has said, which is quite questionable. So we're going to start off this clip where Ed admits that he subscribes to perhaps the most famous conspiracy theory to do with American politics, other than the moon landings from the 20th century.
Let's get to the book then. Excuse me. The book is, again, we're talking with former CIA director R. James Woolsey, and he wrote this book with a former Romanian spy chief. Is this really, can we say this now? And does this book establish it now solidly that the KGB was behind the Kennedy assassination? Can we definitively say that, or are we still saying that's what we think?
So there you are, Ed saying he reckons the Russians killed Kennedy, which is, again, as I said, like probably the second biggest conspiracy from the 20th century, again, ignoring like 9/11 stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest conspiracy, like famous conspiracy
theory. I must admit, I hadn't heard of that conspiracy theory.
What, the Russians killing Kennedy?
Yeah.
It's, obviously there's loads of who shot JFK stuff.
It is, we know who shot him though, don't we?
Yeah, well, we know, is it Lee Harvey Oswald, I believe, is the guy who shot him, but there's a belief that Lee Harvey Oswald was employed by the Russians to do it. I mean, also there's LBJ, is also another candidate who's thought to have been behind it, because Lee Harvey Oswald actually went to Moscow like a couple of months before or whatever, but there's no evidence whatsoever that he was actually like the Soviets actually like employed him and said go kill the president. It's very much one of these talking points for people like Ed who are part of the incredibly anti-communist, even though Ed doesn't like JFK, but he thinks JFK stole the election from Nixon. Like, there's another conspiracy theory which Ed believes. But again, it's reflective of the fact that Ed is very much steeped in this incredibly distrustful anti-communist belief world.
Mm-hmm.
And for a final clip, here is a little clip of Ed talking about what sorts of wacky topics are discussed on YouTube and allowed to be featured on YouTube.
I mean, you can have a lot of positions, crazy positions, on the internet. Crazy positions. You can do YouTubes about, you know, about the your theories on evolution, on climate change, on UFOs. You can do lots of stuff. You don't get taken down.
Which to me is him saying that evolution and what was the other one? Climate change are as weird and nonsensical as UFOs to me. That's how I read that.
Yeah, it's interesting, yeah, actually, the three groups he's used to highlight his point. I think it's also just, he raises a good point, because you are right, you can post anything on the internet and, you know, people read it and believe it, as proven by the rise of, you know, Trumpism, anti-vaccine rhetoric, climate denial. It's interesting that they kind of use, Ed is using this argument kind of turned on its head to attack the left.
Well, science.
The left. I mean, not AKA science, but I'll scrap that. You can cut that out. I'd say logic.
the sort of parts of politics. No, it's nothing to do with politics.
You're right. It's not politics. It's just, absolutely, I agree.
So, another discussion we had in the last episode was you asked whether or not Ed has had anything to do with Alex Jones. I'm going to play you that clip now. Good mates with Roger Stone, good mates with Alex Jones, obviously organised a Trump rally.
Alex Jones.
No, I've not got any connections with, I've not got any connections between those two.
Who's?
I must apologise for you, because I'm absolutely wrong.
Well, it just seemed weird when you're going through that whole web of connections. I was like, surely these two, like Ed Martin and Alex Jones, have got to be connected, surely.
So the reason I was a bit too headstrong in my assertion, like, no, he's got no say, I can't find any connections, is because, so the way I research this stuff is I listen to the Pro-America Report, so Ed will mention stuff he's up to, whatever, and I can look into that. I also follow him on Twitter, so anything he does, he normally tweets about, and then outside of Ed, and also I do Google search, I'll just type in Ed Martins on YouTube, whatever, and see what he's been doing in recent weeks or whatever. And then I follow Right Wing Watch, who...
To summarise, Will stalks Ed Martin.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to admit that. And then I look at Right Wing Watch, who, same as me, more professionally, are investigating the activities of these sort of people, and they'll write articles about what they're up to. And then also I listen to Knowledge Fight, which is a podcast who cover Alex Jones sort of every single week. So I expected, having that sort of coverage, I'll be all right if Ed Martin actually had a link to Alex Jones. I'm absolutely wrong. As we'll hear, he has appeared in the show multiple times and is fairly good friends with him, which completely shows me up. But so as this episode has already started off talking about racists and conspiracy theorists, I feel it's only right to continue on and talk about Alex Jones, who, if you don't know, is perhaps one of the biggest and most famous conspiracy theorists in America at the moment.
And who is Alex Jones again? Like, what's his background?
So he has a show called, he has a media organisation called InfoWars, and it's just massive, basically, in America. It's weird because it's fringe, but it's massive. I'm going to play you the video footage of, because it's also broadcast online, just to show you how much money is in this. It's ridiculous. It starts off just being like a fringe radio host in America on one of these like odd networks. You'd be like willing to put him up, who like they like sell gold, like they made money by getting freaking people out and getting to buy gold in case the world collapses, sort of thing. So that's how he sort of started off, and he basically became very famous because he predicted in quotation marks 9/11. He said, "Oh, Osama bin Laden is going to attack the World Trade Center like a couple of months before September of 2001," and that basically made him quite big in those mad people. Obviously, everyone's like freaked out by 9/11, as you can imagine. And oh my god, this guy's actually said. He actually said this a couple of months ago that Osama bin Laden's gonna, and then from there it just all sort of spiraled. It sort of spiraled from there, and he's quite a character, and he's been banned off YouTube.
It's funny how one lucky guess can kind of just
heighten your thing. But he's got to say he's got other
kind of act as like a catalyst for.
Well, it's like it's part of it. Obviously, he was quite a big figure behind before that. He's been very popular, and he's very popular. He's mad as well. show you. So it's interesting. He's banned off Twitter and Facebook and everything because of the sort of stuff he's come out with. He's got a lot of trouble over saying that the Sandy Hook school shooting was fake, which is probably going to bring him down in the end, because there's a lot of high value court cases been issued because he's been saying like the acting, there's no kids who were killed. Obviously, that's horrific. But he's also very, Roger Stone used to be working for him on InfoWars for 2 years. He was actually a correspondent. Like, Roger Stone's believed to coax Alex into backing Trump. It's all sorts of things. So he's actually quite well embedded as well as that graph I showed, people connecting. He's quite well connected with a lot of people and is often, to be fair, probably manipulated by these other people because of his profile and his outreach.
Cool.
That's
another crazy wacko for us to explore.
Well, I say I don't want to explore him because that's Knowledge Fight. Yeah. One of my aims for this podcast is I don't want to do Knowledge Fight, and here we are doing an Alex Jones episode.
It's worth doing, I think, because he's obviously an important figure in the Shafiverse.
Yeah, well, I think this is an interesting episode. So this is the 17th of November. This is when Ed most recently came on the show, which, for the context, so the election was the 3rd of November, so it's about 2 weeks after election result, and the weekend before was the Million MAGA March, which Ed helped organise with Women for Trump, and the show actually will, the section I'm going to show you opens up with Alex talking about that rally. Also, Alexander is in the studio. We're going to learn a lot about Alexander and how scary he is in this episode, hopefully. For those who aren't aware, so Stop the Steal was the official Stop the Steal movement, because obviously it's quite grassroots, but Alexander, well, with Roger Stone, originally set up StopTheSteal.us, which was like the website and the coordinating effort behind the whole conspiracy theory that Trump actually won the election, that Biden, the Democrats and the Chinese stole the election by manipulating ballots, whatever you want to say. Then Ed Martin then joined, and those two were the main sort of front men of this organisation, organising rallies, stirring people up, and obviously you could say that culminated in the January 6th insurrection. Which we need to keep in mind, I think, listening to what the hell Ali's saying.
Let's hear it then.
Infowars.com/newsletter. It's time to override the censors and get the truth out.
The enemy of the American people, the controlled corporate press, have fought hard to say just a few thousand people showed up in D.C.
So have you seen the latest Spider-Man film, Far From Home?
No.
Okay, so do you know, is it J. James Jameson or whoever, the guy who's had the daily, have you seen some Spider-Man? Are you familiar at all with Spider-Man?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know the guy who like runs the newspaper which Peter Parker works for?
Mm-hmm.
So in the latest Spider-Man, as in Far From Home, the after credit scene has J. Jameson, I believe that's his name, being broadcast, and he is, the way they've done it is to mimic Alex Jones. They literally have, by modernising J. Jameson, obviously he was newspapers, the way they modernised him is by making him this online personality and broadcaster. So when I saw that with my sister, I was like, oh my god, that's supposed to be Alex Jones. Like, they've actually put in a Marvel film, in a Disney Marvel film, they've actually referenced Alex Jones, like, which again shows you how the known influence. He is. It's interesting.
You are about to see the most detailed and comprehensive footage from the historic Million MAGA March held in Washington, D.C. on November 14th, 2020. The corporate press is desperately trying to suppress this information.
I love how it's he kind of labels it as the corporate press, and it's still, despite the fact they're the ones in power, like toppling kind of the corporate, you know.
Yeah, he's in line with Trump. Yeah, he's at this point, even though Trump's obviously lost the election, Trump's still in power. He is part of a network of people who you could argue have the political
power.
So this is the odd thing, isn't it, where they're both out of power but also have some influence.
Yeah, caught in limbo a little bit.
Photos, just as they had done at the 2016 inauguration, mainstream media attempted to deceive the American people and hide the massive magnitude of this historic march.
The tone of his voice as well just makes it sound some like shady YouTube video. It screams conspiracy theory to me, like the tone of his voice.
It sounds like he's in a bunker. It's like,
yeah.
This is, yeah. He's done it for years now. He knows how to
capture people's imagination.
Mm.
Most of the establishment media refused to show the amazing rooftop shots of the beginning of the rally at Freedom Plaza, where police estimated over 100,000 people met. This shot was taken from the middle of Freedom Plaza at 11:30 before the event even began.
So as a reminder, Ed was the first speaker at this event, and obviously I said before, he helped organise it. So that's the crowd he performed to.
Wow.
On the 17th of... So he helped us say, these people are all part of...
This, yeah, say, all in Ed Martin's sphere of influence.
Say, yeah. This is a demonstration of the physical manifestation of their followers.
That's pretty mad.
We are unified by our spirit that God made, and our connection to the Creator of the universe and our children. And we are unified, and this is the genesis point of the new revolution of information.
Talks about this new revolution of
information. Yeah.
Which again just seems bizarre. When, you know, we've got Michael Flynn saying we're being labeled conspiracy theorists. What they're saying goes against all logic. They're known for promoting fake news.
Yeah.
I know they'd argue the same of
the
Democrats.
Yeah.
But it's just bizarre to me.
Still congregating in mass and marching towards the Supreme Court building. Our contacts inside the D.C. police, who we had contracted for security, estimated this march was bigger than Louis Farrakhan's Million Man March and could have easily topped over 1 million.
So in the episode I did, when I briefly talked about this rally, I said that, so Ed said that the crowd was, he reckons, about 500,000, and Alexander said about 250,000.
Quite a big difference.
So quite a big difference from the million which it was billed as. But still, obviously a hell of a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Thank you so much for joining us. Ollie Alexander, political analyst, and of course, publisher, is here with us.
As I said about the studio, it's like massive desk.
It just screams American patriotism, isn't it?
So Lady Justice blindfolded on the screen, but like loads of big TVs or digital screens. American flags sort of everywhere, red, white, and blue everywhere. And you see all these little, obviously this is a radio broadcast as well as being online, so you can listen, but people do listen to this on the radio as well as the visual content. You see all these files on his desk, it just prints out articles, and he'll just like read the headlines, that's all he really does, to back up his claims. It's quite funny.
Us, and he's been doing a great job flying around the country trying to analyze exactly what's happening with their attempts to steal this election. And he's been trying to stop the steal going back over 6 months. of course, collaborating with Roger Stone, that first developed the Stop the Steal operations more than 2 years ago. We're coming off that huge successful rally you just saw some exclusive excerpts of from Saturday.
So Roger Stone, it's interesting Roger Stone because he got pardoned by Trump, obviously, for the stuff he was up to before. But a lot of people are thinking, oh, can we get him now for Stop the Steal? Because obviously this all happened after he was pardoned.
Ollie, give us the latest around the country.
Well, that's the latest. First, Alex, let me thank you for your patriotism. If you did not marshal the forces, D.C. would have been a fraction of what it was. I walked through the crowd, and it was something out of the Bible. People just wanted to touch my garment or something like that. And I said, well, where'd you hear about this? And they said, InfoWars. I saw you with Alex. I had to come from Oregon, from California.
I just want to thank them for coming. I need to come to Georgia now.
They need to come to Georgia now. I think if you're in any of the surrounding states, come to Georgia. But we're still going to need you in other places. So sit tight. This is a race to December 14th to get Trump, Donald Trump, 270 electoral votes, or deprive both candidates of 270 electoral votes and then send it to the House of Representatives that then becomes a House of States, and then he wins there.
So for context, this was... So December 14th was when they ratified, the Supreme Court ratified the electoral votes, which was the stage before January the 6th in terms of like the confirmation process, because that's why also I think a lot of people weren't too... was very surprised by January 6th being the blow-up, because they'd had moments before
where these
people say, oh, we need to do it now, this is our chance to stop it, and then it didn't happen, and it kept going, like, kept rolling down and down. So, yeah. That's why, personally, I think a lot of people were a bit surprised.
Well, I think, yeah, if I remember correctly, you were saying that, like, conspiracy theorists, maybe QAnon, were saying, like, oh, this is the day that this will happen and Donald Trump will stay in power, or...
They thought he was going, like that? They thought he was going to come back into power in March after...
Oh, yeah, that was it, yeah.
There's still a... Like, I think Mike Lindell, who's... I'm not going to get into Mike Lindell. He's this entrepreneur who sells pillows. He's a massive Trump supporter. But I think he said, like, no, like September or something, Trump's coming back into power still. Like they're still hanging on to this weird belief that he's suddenly it's all going to come out that the Democrats are demon worshippers and everything will be fine. Yeah.
The most powerful nation on earth.
Yes.
Oh, on the spot. They've gone and checked it. It's happening. The media tries to deny it. Or there's a whistleblower that's USPS. They go, oh, that person recanted. Then the person releases audio. The FBI or the Postal Service Inspector General operative threatening them.
When you previously mentioned InfoWars, I kind of always envisioned it as a small kind of setup that didn't have much influence, wasn't, and I kind of watching the clip, it's like, whoa, they actually have like way too much power and influence and money.
Yeah, I think Alex Jones is a multimillionaire. I read an article yesterday by Bellingcat who did a post investigating sort of extreme right-wing characters in this country. So there's a guy called Paul Joseph Watson, who a lot of the articles in this video, the full video of this episode of InfoWars, are written by him, and he's British, and he contributes a lot. But Bellingcat found out he earns about, I think, over five grand a month through donations alone. He makes, from people donating money to him, he gets $5,000 a month. That's not including whatever money he gets paid for his work for InfoWars, any other funding he gets elsewhere, which is probably quite a lot as well, just purely from people donating money to him, he gets $5,000 a month.
That's crazy.
There's so much money in this. That's why, because he's...
Why aren't I getting donated five grand a month? I mean, I take £5 a month, to be honest.
Because that's the... Because I've not talked about... So the way Alex Jones particularly makes a lot of his money is by selling like vitamins and like nutritional stuff, which we'll talk... It might come up in a bit. And he just, they're ridiculous prices. They don't do anything really. But in this episode, there's a Stop the Steal sale on, where it's like 50% off all the products to sort of help raise funds for Stop the Steal. And it's just like, it has so much money. They say you just terrorize people. Okay. Oh my God, the world's going to end. Like, you need to stock up on like hydration stuff. Yeah. And then the money just comes flowing in.
And then the world never ends. Oh, wow. Touch. Yeah, we say that.
So this is now Ed Martin joining to talk about the election and what they can do to stop the steal.
Ed Martin has been coming on the show for probably 16, 17 years. It's been too long, been a few years. He is the president of Phyllis Schlafly's Amazing Eagle Forum. He's also an attorney, works on the Republican National Committee. I can't go over his whole bio, it would take hours. Twitter, at Eagle Ed Martin. Parler, at Ed Martin, edmartinlive.com. Ed, we got a few minutes of this segment, longer segment coming up, but What would you describe this moment in history that we're in right now?
Do you want to describe Ed Martin's...
So just to describe Ed Martin's, well, I'm guessing office to you.
Yeah.
The things that jump out to me are lots of eagles in the background, which is obviously a reference to Schlafly's eagles.
Yeah.
You've got a little Donald Trump and a Make America Great Again cap in the top right. Mm-hmm. But I think the most striking thing to me is a bust of Abraham Lincoln's head on his shelf, which is very interesting.
It's bright gold, isn't it?
You can't really miss it.
There's American flags. So you've also got The Conservative Case for Trump, which is the book he wrote with Phyllis Schlafly and Brett M. Decker, which
Stop ERA sticker,
which is again is a reference to Phyllis Schlafly's work. There's a massive eagle statue on like a globe behind it, which is my favourite thing. And I think that covers most of it. The little American flags, there's lots of books. I can't quite read, obviously, the titles. There's a photograph, black and white photograph behind him. He's got an eagle pin, which is, again, to do with Phyllis Schlafly's eagles.
It's just so epic with CNN, everybody gaslighting, saying there's no evidence of fraud. And now not just InfoWars, but OAN and Newsmax need to be silenced. I mean, these people are the bad guys. It's unbelievable.
No, it is, Alex. And I got to tell you, I'm excited to be back on with you. It has been too long. You know, my old mentor, the late Phyllis Schlafly, she enjoyed being on with you, your program. She also thought you were fighting so often exactly the way we needed it. So thanks for doing that. Look, I it's a battle for the Republic. What we know now, Alex, and you've been talking about it for decades. I mean, really, the corruption in this country, the rot in our institutions. Well, first we thought it was just, you know, sort of the corporate control over us. Then we thought it was the media. Then we thought it was the deep state. Now we see it's the elections. And if we don't save this election, you can't say the Republic advances the same way, because we quite literally, we then are really ruled by the people who game the system, who are corrupt in the system. So, you know, Ali and I stood down there. You were there with us, 500,000 people at least in D.C. that understand what we the people want. But
so a lot of this is a lot of fear mongering, saying if we can keep Trump in power and stop Biden from coming in, we'll save America. You can understand why a seat for January is then such a
it's
big
very
thing.
Extreme rhetoric, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's not just with this, to go back to my favourite topic, climate change. You see it with climate change as well, where you get kind of like 80 days to save the world kind of thing. Hmm. And I think generally in the media, you do have just these extreme headlines which take stuff out of proportion to try and grab people's attention.
Yeah.
But the reason people are still doing it, because it obviously works.
Yeah.
People really see this, get riled up, and they have this belief that I think it's their moment to stand up and save the world. And
I got to tell you, all your listeners, all your viewers, all the people that hear this on whatever, you know, secondary media, they've got to understand the moment. It truly is a get to the vanguard moment, because we lose this one and we're losing something we won't be able to get back.
And then when you consider what he's saying there, with the hindsight of what happened on the 6th of January, the insurrection, it's just obvious.
Yeah.
No. It's obvious that these people have riled the extreme part of their supporters up. Not Mardi Gras. I'm sorry, Ed.
But yeah, it's like if you don't get off your arse and you don't get down to the Capitol and you protest and you defend America, there won't be an America left after this. We are becoming a dictatorship.
And
left are coming over.
And it shows the danger of this extreme rhetoric where it's just not necessary. I know he believes it is necessary. It's too polarized, isn't it? I guess, you know, a lot of the issues in America, it's two extremes. It's not too kind of central-ish. I'm not saying Joe Biden's extreme, but do you know what I mean?
It's breaking
very
apart.
Polarized.
Again, this is the worst, because this is InfoWars. This is the proper hardcore right-wing, pro-Trump, highly religious lot. These are the Ed and Ali and Jones all behave how they do, is because they know this is the extreme. They're able to go
they're
a
being
bit
paid
extreme
to saying this stuff, aren't they?
Well, I don't know whether Ed'd be paid for this. I think
of course he will. No, he's not coming on this show for free. I mean, I know it's good publicity for him and stuff, but
I think
them all perpetuating these ideas, they're one way or another, they're being paid to do it.
I think
their benefit to do
it. Yeah, I think I would say more it's collaboration. I don't imagine Ed would have been. I mean, he might have been paid. I don't know. I think because they're quite good friends and they've all seeking the same goal. Because Ali and Ed then go to the Jericho March, where they go on stage and they'll double act together. Like, this is the beginnings of their double act to promote the whole Stop the Steal narrative.
Mm.
In fact, let me ask you both this. In fact, it was a question I was thinking about asking you before you came on. Is this the end of the Republic? No, I think it's a crippling, and then we have to fight truly as a rebel force, and they're going to come after all of us, which I know we will surmount and win. It'll make us stronger, but we really need to mobilize now because the enemy has taken the gloves off, and they are really coming for our blood.
Again, like, the enemy has taken the gloves off. They're coming for our blood. You're just... It's just screaming violence and anger, isn't it? It's and sure, like, you're... You know, that's an extreme view, and, you know, maybe that's what you really believe in, but you can understand why the sixth happened when this is, you know, when the people who did that horrible stuff on the sixth and charged the Capitol, I mean, this will be the program they're listening to, this kind of rhetoric. Yeah.
This is why, when I watched this, first I thought, this, we need to cover this, because again, it shows you why it happened. And I think the issue is, as you were saying, it's justifying it through it being defensive. You're not being aggressive. If you go up here and you storm the Capitol, that's not aggressive. That is defending America. So you're attacking them before they attack us. It's almost preemptive.
Exactly. They've portrayed it as, we're already being attacked. We need to mobilize to defend us. It's, yeah, crazy.
What would you describe this moment of they're able to steal this election that's Chi-Com backed? I mean, I think this is a foreign occupation force of China with MSM and the liberals. I mean, I think it's an illegal occupation force, Ollie.
I think it's a refounding of America. That's the opportunity. If they do steal this...
I love how he just completely ignores Jones talking about it's the Chinese. The Chinese. I think it's the refounding of America. It's like, yeah, you don't talk about that. You ignore him. You just...
And they take over the infrastructure and the institutions, there is an opportunity to call forth those moral arguments, the same ones.
So we're going to have to execute 1776. It'll have to commence again.
Well, I don't know.
So 1776, for those who don't know, is the year of American War of Independence, which on the 6th, everyone had it. This is 1776 again. Like, oh, we got to, like, fight for America and refound it and all the rest of it. Like, by referencing 1776, they are very clearly referring to violence in defense of America, mobilization, and sort of military raid fighting.
No comment.
But what I do know is that smart men, Newt Gingrich, ourselves, other people, are going to get together and say, what are our options endowed to us by God? And those are the legitimate options. And then we will find our legal options. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to live under oppression. End of story.
That's right. Compliance and submission is basically supporting it.
But Alex, and here's the good thing.
I love how Ed Martin's just in the background kind of making small mouth gestures, like trying to get in on the conversation, but not really being able to get in.
I think he's like slightly smiling. He's like,
he's like, you can tell he's like ready to say something, but like can't quite find the break in conversation.
But before you add, we're the majority. Yeah. Spoiler alert, we're the majority, and now we've demonstrated that. How come we've had two consecutive weeks of Stop the Steal rallies in 50 state capitals, and
how come we almost won the House back? How come we kept the Senate despite all the fraud?
Where are the Biden rallies? Where are the Biden rallies?
They're in their death throes. We'll talk about next segment. Ed, go ahead.
They're battling with each other. It's like this isn't like a discussion. Like you said, they're all just rambling and shouting their own opinions with no linkages between each other. And it's just like...
Well, what I want to say, though, is this. I want to be a little bit less optimistic than Ali. If we lose this right now, what the powers that be have done is look for a way to take us down for about 4 years. They tried the Russia hoax. They tried silencing Alex and everybody else.
Now they got the COVID. They're going to put us under martial law.
Exactly.
They've got the COVID.
They're putting us under martial law.
Oh, my word.
You can see why Knowledge Fight is such a popular podcast, because they just laugh at it basically the whole time. Like, what are these idiots saying?
Yeah, wow.
But it's terrifying because people believe this.
It's absolutely fascinating to watch because, like you said, people believe it.
They got COVID they're trying, the Ukraine tried. And if they can break us this way, don't think that Susan Rice and the guys that get back in control are going to go softer this time. I don't care. Tom Cotton went on TV and said, we'll never confirm Susan Rice. Who the hell cares who's confirmed by the Senate if they're sitting in the Oval Office unmasking Americans? And frankly, Alex, all we've ever heard is unmasking. Do you really think Obama and the Oval Office...
There you are, blaming Obama.
behind it.
I was going to say, I love the fact that Obama's was not been president now for 5 years, and they still bring it back to him.
Still the bogeyman. He's still they know it works. They know if they reference Obama, it riles people up.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing about it all.
Yeah.
The folks hatching that plan stopped it on masking, or do you think they were destroying Americans? Of course they were using all the force and unleash Biden in his bunker and Kamala and the gang. And we'll fight back.
I love that. It's Biden, Kamala, and the gang. It's just ridiculous.
But it's a much more daunting than just, we got banned on Twitter. No, they're coming with a force of government, and they'll come in for you and me, Ali, and every other person who puts their head up.
And they're such arrogant, crazy, doddering people led by Biden that they're going to go for broke. In fact, Ed, stay there. I want to talk about this because they are saying they want to burn us down. They want to level the Trump supporters. They want siege. They want to break the American people. They want to make us go on welfare.
But no one's saying this. This is just them inventing this enemy and putting words in their mouth.
They want to control us. And this is that process of breaking that they say they're about to do with the Great Reset.
The real thing that is striking me watching this is obviously I kind of knew the 6th of January, it happened. I kind of knew there were reasons behind that because obviously we had been doing this podcast that was loosely related. But this is just making it apparently clear to me why it happened. The rhetoric they've just used in the space of the last 5-10 minutes is just for anyone who has the beliefs that who could be influenced to believe that the election was stolen, or they support Trump, or they want to promote these ideas. You want to believe in someone saying what these people are saying, and that is just so dangerous.
It just dials up to 11 instantly. Yeah. As soon as you are willing to entertain the idea that the election might be stolen, it's like, oh no, wait. If they're doing that, then they're trying to take over America. They're going to hunt us down.
It's such a slippery
slope. Yeah.
Dangerous slope, as proven by the events on the 6th of January.
And none of these people, it's important to say, none of these people have had any punishment for this. Got banned off Twitter and then went into hiding, and that's it. And he's come back
now. It's difficult to, I think, quantify these people's impact, because ultimately, obviously, they've stirred people up and that's made a contribution. It's difficult to quantify how big that contribution is because people also have their own agency at the end of the day. But I think you can definitely say they've played a considerable role. Mm. In the larger sense.
Yeah, that's the problem is you can't quantify is the problem. I fully argue that these people have got blood on their hands regarding the people who died in the 6th. I fully believe that these people should be held responsible for the death and the destruction and the just chaos which was responsible. Alex Jones less so than the other two. The other two, obviously, Ali and Ed went around the country and did media interviews like this, promoting it all. But again, because you can't quantify it and you can't make that strong connection, you can't stop them from doing it again. That's my biggest fear, the fact of where is this going. Ed's not as extreme as the other two. Ali is a complete monster. I think he's insane. I think he's literally like a villain.
Yeah, because you keep saying that, and he's obviously a bad guy, but I haven't seen the extremeness in him compared to Ed Martin yet.
Okay, at the moment you think they're quite level, even, would you get the pressure?
Yeah, I'm not... No. Anything that particularly separates them.
Yeah,
I completely believe you.
I think it's fair.
But from the little I know about Alexander, I'm not seeing much difference between him and Ed Martin, but I'm sure that will...
No, it's fine. No, I think this episode mainly is talking about Alexander, really, because he's such a presence in this episode, and I think as he was the frontman and the recognised head of Stop the Steal, he is the one who's should be held most accountable for everything that happened.
Mm-hmm. It's worked everywhere else, so why shouldn't they try it here? This is the great moment of truth. I'm optimistic on one side, but I'm also very, very dire on the other. That's why everybody must mobilize in these key states straight ahead.
So what's very interesting is after 6th, Ed started being very optimistic. So, this is going to be interesting change for America, and he's very sort of positive. This will be new.
After the
6th. And you sort of see the beginnings of this here, where they're still weirdly entertaining this idea that it might be a golden, a new golden age. It's weird. I don't know why they're doing it at this stage. I get from the 6th, but I don't know why they're so sort of schizophrenic here at times.
So let's talk about what's about to happen if they win and how we stop that. Ed Martin, get into the big picture. I know Trump is set to come out and expose that this is a Chi-Com-led operation. This is literally the takeover of our country.
So if you don't know, Chi-Com is short for Chinese Communist. That's not obvious.
Chi-Com operation. Got it.
And then yep. Biden means to put us under permanent martial law. Bill Gates, the UN, Schwab of the Davos Group have all said this is a permanent lockdown. Klaus Schwab. Yep. I mean, this is so draconian.
Klaus Schwab is the head of the World Economic Forum, if you don't know.
So Davos, yeah.
This is just the typical bogeymen of these conspiracy type people. Bill Gates.
Davos. Again, it's just ignoring all the logic, science, etc. on coronavirus to be like, oh no, they're not trying to save American lives by putting us into a lockdown. They're trying to, you know, limit our freedoms, our, you know, it's almost, they're using it to rile people up because it's like, look what they're trying to doing to try and, you know, kind of shove us to a corner whilst they steal the election. It's, yeah.
And he said earlier, the Great Reset, which is a very old, weird conspiracy that they're going to take over and kill everyone and they'll create a new utopia. It's just nonsense.
People are really starting to freak out. They're really starting to get it. This is a UN corporate world government Chi-Com takeover. You're a smart lawyer, head of the Eagle Forum, been on the Republican yep. National Committee, highest levels. Tucker Carlson sounds like Alex Jones now. It's not us making this up. This was in the shadows before. We were worried the UN had this on the drawing board. Now the New York Times says the UN should intervene.
I love how, all the articles so far, he's used to back up his point. So he's speaking,
yes,
and articles pop up on the screen to kind of back up what he's talking yep. about. And they're all InfoWars articles.
I say, can you see who this one's written by?
By Paul Joseph Watson.
He's the guy I mentioned before. He gets paid $5,000 for doing bugger all. So it's
kind of like he's saying, we haven't made this up. But then his evidence for the points he's making is, you know, articles by his own
people.
So it's kind of like, well,
can you read out the headline?
So the headline of this article is Great Reset: Mastermind Suggests Risk Assessment Brain Scans Before Allowing Travel.
It's just
how even related to what he was saying.
It doesn't.
You're right. I just saw this article part, but you're right. Now that I've read it, it's like, how is that even relating to what you're saying?
It's talking about needing brain scans before traveling, which is, no one's ever said anything like that at all. It's nothing to do with what you're talking about. It's just fear mongering. Yeah, and it's all just fear mongering nonsense. It's bugger. But bollocks. It's hilarious, but it's terrifying at the same time.
It's absolutely terrifying.
And run our elections. I mean, they're really making their move, using the virus as the fear to control us, and they as the good guys, even though Fauci and Gates are involved with the virus at the Wuhan lab. So give us the inside, intel from your sources about what we're really facing.
Well, listen, first of all, you know, the late Phyllis Schlafly, she was the first person in 1964. She wrote a book, A Choice, Not an Echo, in which she said the corruption in the Republican Party is being dominated by the East Coast elites. And she referred to the Bilderbergers for the first time. She, like you, Alex, recognized the globalist movement. It's world communism, but it's also world globalist wealth and control is on the move.
So, yeah, Bilderberg is like it started in the 1960s, but they're like American and European sort of important people to do with business or politics, whatever, who get together in the Netherlands and have a meeting. It's all very secret. It's dodgy because they are secretive. They don't say what they talk about, what they decide upon, yada, yada. And it's been obviously latched on to these sort of people jumping and go, look, there's a conspiracy. And I read the Wikipedia article on it. Phyllis Schlafly is even noted as being one of the first people who spreads this conspiracy theory. And Alex Jones is a big proponent of it as well. So it's interesting that even Schlafly has links with spreading these conspiracy theories about globalists and so on. It's a globalist, if you don't know, it's like the main bogeyman group, these shadowy, like Illuminati type group of people who are it's very anti-Semitic in some ways, of these people who have all the money and control the world through dodginess and who spread globalism. You can sort of see the links with that.
Yeah.
And so on. But it's just stupid, annoying and frustrating.
Oh, Phyllis. Oh, what you like.
And again, sometimes when you have the most progress, Donald Trump has given us the most progress. He's exposed how the globalist movement wanted to control our media. They wanted to control our jobs. They wanted to control our deep state. There you go. All these things that you that are being controlled by the globalists. COVID kicks in and you see the healthcare is going to be run out of the UN and other world organizations. We make all this progress with Trump. And now they're saying, watch us undercut that. And we'll take you back faster to the dark ages that you ever never recognized. It'll be almost like you took one step forward and 10 back, because if Trump doesn't hold the line here and we don't expose the corruption, look, what people are saying about this, Alex, is that this election was hacked. And when I say hacked, it wasn't, give me a break with CNN. It wasn't widespread. You don't rob all the banks in a city. You rob the bank that has the money where you can get away. They didn't rob all the election systems. They hacked the ones that would swing the election. And that's what they're trying to do. So look, you got to fight back on this, but you're right to put it in context. It's 1776. Right now, we've lost a lot of battles and we're sitting in Valley Forge looking over at Trenton and people are saying, damn, it's cold. But you know what? You got to get in. You got to go, because either we're going to come out the other side shining forth and free, or you're going to be broken and we're going to be talking about how to send secret signals to each other, you know, because we can't be communicating other ways. And
it gets to the point where almost we don't know what to say anymore because it's just it's frustrating.
Well, I was going to say, it's, I mean, you could stop this thing every 10 seconds and just go, this is stupid, ridiculous, crazy, whatever.
Yeah, it gets pointless to some extent.
Unfound, you know, it's all just like, what? Like, how can you hold these beliefs and perpetuate this?
Say this nonsense about any evidence whatsoever behind it. So there's not...
And all the comparisons they're making to 1776, it reinforces that image of this great American patriotic kind of...
The birth of it, is it? Birth of the nation.
That, you know, people want to think that they're a part of this new thing, don't they? Mm. Like, oh, wow, yeah, this is amazing. I'm going to be, like, in history. I'm going to be the great person who saves America from these alien reptiles or whatever the hell is going on kind of thing. And it's just bizarre.
I don't think that's an exaggeration. I think we're on the brink of a dark age, or we're on the brink of a golden age. And right now, it's up for grabs.
Again, it's just so polarizing, isn't it? It's, we've either got this golden or dark age. There's no middle ground, is there? Which in reality is what it probably is. It's just like, no, it's either going to be the best thing ever or the worst thing ever. And it's like, calm down. Just it's everything is not as extreme and life and death as you're portraying it. Like...
And they admit that. They say at Davos, we're creating a new feudalist system. We're going to make you poor for your own good. We're going to depopulate you. But they have jumbo jets. And
who is saying that? Who is saying that at Davos? We're going to make you poor for your own good.
Live on top mountaintops and have 50,000 acre palatial manors. I mean, these people are crazy.
You're just talking about yourself here. You're crazy.
Yeah, it's just so ironic how everything they're saying in reality applies to them.
Karl Rove or anybody else who cares about we the people would be in the trenches and stop the steal. They'd be in the trenches right now calling for the impeachment of the governor of Georgia or the secretary of state
exactly.
of Georgia.
Exactly. Instead, they're on the sidelines. God that Genders, who's a historian, has said this is the end of the country potentially. And this is the worst thing he's seen in his life. I mean, that's what this is. And we should see Karl Rove standing up. But instead, he's like George W. Bush. And the rest of them, they're all sitting on the sidelines laughing because they're globalists.
Yeah, well, but importantly, Alex, one of the great gifts of this time is we're sort of seeing everybody come out from behind the curtain, right? I mean, even you and I could have sat down and we would have said, is the media this bad? And you and I would have said, we think Fox News is bad too, but well, I don't know. Now we see it, right?
They're all in the tank. No, I totally agree. It's worse than I thought it would be. The total alignment of disinfo is shocking. Their discipline of fraud is unprecedented.
You're right, Alex Jones. The disinformation
is shocking.
Is shocking, but it's you. it is you. I mean, every article that has appeared to back up his claims, it's just the most nonsensical, ridiculous thing that's being discussed in this article. I'm just like,
yeah, they're awful. The articles are awful. Even when they're actual articles written by other people, they're like 5 years old, and like he's completely misrepresented the content because he just uses the headlines. Yeah. Most of the time he just uses headlines, or he lies about the headlines. He just manipulate it to create disinformation as easy as possible.
It's literally just, how can I take the most extreme point on what was said, take it out of context and make it into something that supports what I believe in. There's no logic, there's no evidence, there's no backing up science to it, whatever. It's just completely manipulating it so it fits his belief system. And but yeah, it's
and it's the issue. If they were speaking a different language, if you take it that perspective where they're talking a different language, you don't know what they're saying, and you see all these pieces of paper on his desk, these articles that keep flashing up, this intense discussion, you think obviously this is highly well researched. This is
well, they're all very reasonable people. They all come across as educated, clever, well dressed.
Well, yeah, so
people, you know, with a you know, it's a proper thing. You know, they've got this television broadcast station with, you know, a big desk and all this. There's clearly a lot of money in it, and it, like you said, it creates this belief that, well, this must all be real because it's a very professional thing.
And also the exposure, for example, of the deep state, right? 5 years ago, you and I would have talked about the deep state. We would have had all these assert. Now we see the FBI was broken, right? We see the Department of Justice totally broken. People are we should be devastated by these institutions. But the point is, one guy's been at the head of the spear. It's not his movement. You know, there was one Washington. There's one Trump. It's not the end of the army. But we've got to realize if we walk away from Washington, if you walk away from Trump, you're walking away from the future. From Washington on, we had America. From Trump on, if we walk away from him, what do we get? And
we have to rally for Trump and ourselves and this bulwark.
So comparing Trump to Washington is insane, and obviously calling back to the sort of the first American president and this idea of this being a brand new important period for America as a country, and a second beginning, isn't it?
It is just completely there, imposing their beliefs to create a fictitional future which supports their ideas and what they want to happen. It's all just nonsense and made up to make themselves happy.
Yeah.
And to give themselves money and jobs
and followers
and influence, yeah.
And the enemy knows. Just a week ago, they thought they were invincible. They're scared now. They're freaking out. They know we're going to win these cases, but we've just got to hit the streets, all 50 capitals, starting Georgia tomorrow. Ed, other key battleground areas with your Eagle Forum analysis you think we need to be at?
Well, I think Pennsylvania, I think it's a big five, right? Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. You mentioned Georgia, also Arizona. Look, you know, when you look at this election, when they realized, again, the plan was not one facet. The globalists, all these people, they got multiple ways they do it. They were looking at the election. They're stealing absentees. They're stealing mail, and they're stealing this. Then they looked and they said, oh, we might still get beat. They went to five big cities. They said Atlanta, Philadelphia, Michigan, Detroit, Milwaukee, and Maricopa County. Flip the steel, turn it on, baby, crank it up, and they did it. So we got to be focused like a laser. I'll take California. We could do that another year. We'll take them back. Right now, it's Pennsylvania. It's a big one. Michigan's a big one. Wisconsin right now. And Maricopa, where the illegals and the leftists have tried to change the whole country in one county.
There you are, saying the illegal immigrants are to blame.
Yeah, it's. I feel like a broken record. It's just bizarre.
Lies and racial prejudices and just stoking, hitting the buttons at work. Obama, immigrants, Chinese communists.
What do these people want to hear? How are we going to get these people more riled up, more on our side, more money coming our way, more power, more influence? Like you said, it's just these buzzwords.
I've got reports, Alex, of planes landing in the morning of November 4th. I see the manifest from Seoul, South Korea, into Maricopa County, and whistleblowers with eyes on ballots in bags.
So this is really funny, this thing about the South Koreans sending a flight over, delivering fake ballots, because I think this is grown out of a lie which Roger Stone started, where he said that the North Koreans, not South Koreans, North Koreans went by boat to Maine. Maine is a state on the East Coast. Right. Yeah. East Coast America, not West Coast America, and delivered fake ballots. So Roger Stone said that the North Koreans went by boat to the other side of America to drop off fake ballots. And again, it seemed to have evolved to something a bit more plausible in that South Koreans.
Wow, you say a bit more plausible.
Well, it makes more sense than North Korean going via, I don't know, the Panama Canal or going over through the Arctic to deliver fake ballots. Again, it's just, it's preposterous nonsense and it's fake.
I'm telling you, this isn't hard to figure out. This game is on, and we got to stick to those five places and be on our game, because we got five legislatures that can be heroic. They can be the founding fathers of the next American golden age, or we can make them traitors for the rest of their lives and history if they walk away.
I totally agree. Ed Martin, thank you so much. At Eagle Ed Martin on Twitter, Parler at Ed Martin, edmartinlive.com. Join us again, and then tomorrow, Owen Schroyer is going to be hosting. I'll be calling in live from demonstrations, but join us again with updates the next few days. Ed, it's been too long. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, Alex. Thanks, Allie.
We'll do one more segment with you, my friend. We're going to hang out and get ready and then get packed up, and I'm going to try to cut some promos to pay the bills around here. I want to thank the listeners. But what are we going to cover in this final segment coming up?
You know, that sent chills through my spine. There's an opportunity right now to be a part of the recommitment to Christian liberty, that shining city on the hill that protects the most vulnerable around the world, but us first, them second, or we assign ourselves to slavery to the Chi Coms. It's just that simple. And so all of these guys, I'm so proud to be working with you, Alex, and you, Ed. We've got to rush the gates. We've got to be the barbarians that rush the gates in the castle, or we're all dead.
We've got to rush the gate. It just tells so much, doesn't it?
We'll be slaves to the Chinese communists if we don't do this. So this is this
speech. You are right. It's shocking that they have not been persecuted.
So this speech especially absolutely, I think, nails Ali. This bit, I say, we can listen to this speech, but this little bit he does, I think, absolutely should nail him.
It's really that simple. So I'm signing my death warrant. It's liberty or it's death. Alex, I think you're in the same boat.
Oh, I'm way past. I'm total commitment. Every cell of my body is commanding me to take action.
Boom!
I'm not in control. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Key Intel straight ahead, then a whole hour of your calls and the Great Reset news.
Yeah, victory or death, as he said on the 6th, overlooking the Capitol as it was stormed.
Did he say that on the 6th?
He said on the 6th, yeah. He didn't know they were storming it, said, but he said, I don't apologize for what's going on.
Like we said, it's that rhetoric which is encouraging people to do that. It's, you know, like you said, it's difficult to quantify, but I think it's pretty clear there's a correlation.
Yeah, between it's undeniable. He considers himself and promotes himself as the head of the Stop the Steal movement. Alexander personally takes responsibility for being, or saw himself as being, the head of this entire movement, this conspiracy theory, promoting it and stoking fears and organizing people and getting people organized and in locations. They went around the country organizing these rallies, and then he was also there, obviously, at 6th, doing the same thing on January 6th. But he's the one mobilizing and enabling people to gather in the real world and affect real change in it.
I think this is the dangerous thing with fake news, because I think the number of people that genuinely believe to their core that the election was stolen and a lot of the rhetoric behind it is reasonable, but it's not huge. I think what's bigger is the number of people that are able to be influenced to believe it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? The swing,
yeah,
population, as it were. And I think that's where fake news is really, and this kind of rhetoric is really dangerous, because it's those people who are on the fence, which is the majority of people, who then swing that way because of this. I mean, if you're a little bit unsure about something, you've just watched this. You're up there, you're riled now, you're like, wow, this is it. You know, it creates that emotive response, yeah, of like, wow, you know, I need to get involved in this. And I think that's where fake news is the most dangerous and needs to be regulated and stopped, because it's been proven that it just has dire, dangerous, horrible, scary consequences.
I hope that was informative, a bit, obviously.
No, absolutely. It was, because I've only listened to clips from Ed Martin's show, and I think when you spoke about Alexander and other figures before, it was kind of, I had a rough idea who they were, but this was very tangible, very like, oh wow. Okay. this is why. This explains a lot. So yeah, no, very informative. Thank you.
This podcast was researched and presented by me, William Lear.
And me, Torren Whitehead.
Music was done by Ted Wallaker.
And the graphic was designed by Alice Eves.